chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. The title of my message is this: Strong Enough to Control Yourself. I guess it would be more like an instruction. Let's be strong enough to control, or be strong enough to control yourself. I probably should have put B. I want us to understand that we live in a world that celebrates loud, sometimes obnoxious people. What do you mean? That let it out? You know, you go on these social media platforms, and what are the posts more than likely that get more attention, right? It's the ones doing wild things, right? Either they're fighting, or we see the Karens of the world, or we see the Felicias of the world, or we see the Juanitas of the world. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Amen. I'm going to, amen, trademark that one, Juanitas. Juanitas. And here's the thing. It's people that actually lose control, and it's people that actually speak their mind. Sometimes it's in a setting of a parking lot or in a fight or in a grocery store. Amen. And I want you to understand that God says that's not strength. When people go out in public and just lose it like that, that's not strength. Or they fight over a parking spot or maybe a disagreement. You follow me? That's not strength. When somebody has to speak or have the last word, that's not strength. What we need to understand is anybody can raise their voice. How much faith does it take for you to raise your voice? How much faith does it take for you to restrain yourself and bite your tongue? It's easy for anybody to say what we feel, right? It is. It really is. And here's what I'm trying to explain. Anybody can raise their voice. Anybody can snap. I can do that very easy. But what it's going to require for us to restrain ourselves is living a spirit-filled life, controlling our spirit. And you know what that takes? Discipline. Control. Sometimes when we are in the heat of the moment, we want to respond. But the best thing sometimes, instead of responding, is just remaining quiet, showing some restraint, controlling our temper. Or, like some of you guys are spiritual warriors, some of you know how to respond right. It's very difficult for me, and I know I'm your pastor, I know. And if you used to look up to me and respect me, and now you don't, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, okay? But if you catch me in a heated moment, guess what I'm going to do more than likely? Because remember my environment I grew up, that's my excuse I use. But I see that pattern. That's what I learned. What do you think? No, I'm not violent. I on purpose got away from that. But what I do know is I know how to react. I know how to react obnoxiously. I know how to lose my temper. I know how to, naturally, I know how to do that. The reason you don't see that most of the time is because I get into the Word of God and I know my weakness. I get into the Word of God, and most of the time when I want to say something, I want to react a certain way, I have to stop and think, man, how is this going to help the situation? We need to get to a place in society, in our church as well, in our marriages, in our families, where we have to realize, you know what? It's not strength when we lose control. What is strength is when we control ourselves. And this is why I want to touch on this verse, because the greatest battle that you and I will ever fight, it's not out here. It's in here. That's the greatest battle. My wife and I can disagree on something, but the greatest battle that we fight, it's not against each other. It's in here. Follow me? I'm not going to blame my wife, or I'm not going to say, well, it's her fault. She doesn't. No. What am I doing? How am I controlling? I'm the leader, right? Supposed to be the spiritual leader. Am I correct? As a father, I can't go and blame my children for the way they're acting or behaving or not listening and say, it's their fault. Let me just blow up. I have to, the best way I know how, respond the right way. And I believe this passage here shows us that. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, he, are you there? Say amen. 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Another word for mighty, just in case you didn't know, back then this is what they called them. The word warrior didn't exist at that time, but it's a warrior. It's a general in a military position. It's mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a what? So who is better? than a warrior? Who is better than someone that takes over a city? Someone that controls their what? Their spirit. God just compared you to a warrior. God just compared you to a military general. And he said, if you can't control your anger, you don't measure up. He's saying, look, if you're quick tempered, guess what you do? You lack control. How many of you in this morning, it's a rhetorical question, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you struggle with temper, your temper? You know what you lack? Control. That's why I say, don't raise your hand. Amen. How many of you struggle with emotional explosions? Amen. You know what that means? That we're spiritually what? Immature. We're not mature. Anger is not strength. You know what anger is? It's just showing us who we truly are. A person that has no self-control. Amen? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Here's my first point. All right, amen. Your anger reveals your weakness. My anger, if I blow up, if I'm quick-tempered, if I explode, if my wife has a peaceful demeanor and I just didn't like what she said, but I explode, it's revealing that I'm what? Weak. Spiritually, I'm weak. Spiritually, that weak, amen. Invest in my weakness. That weak there, what have I consumed? Well, I'll tell you this. If I'm angry, you know what I've consumed. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? You know. This is how God works. It says, Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy what? Have a good attitude. To be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. I want you to understand that God is not saying some fools, right? If we have a hasty spirit to be angry, we show no restraint. We're all considered what? What are we considered? What are we considered? Fools. I'm a fool if I am quick to get angry. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching this, but this is a thing that I had in my calendar there. But it's, we could be strong enough to control ourselves. Husband, if you blow up at your wife, instead of leading, you know what that says about us, men? That we have lost control. And it's not that we need to control our wives. No, I'm saying we lost control of ourselves. Amen? A wife wants to see a man lead, right? A wife doesn't need another boy to raise. Okay, let me get off of that one. Amen. Wives, amen, wives. There you go, amen. Constant snapping, constant sharp words. It's not communication. I mean, there's so many verses I could have used about the contentious woman and whatnot, but I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I want to encourage us and understand that that's not communicating. You know what that is? When you use sharp words, when you offend people, or a husband, I guess, you know what that is? It's tearing them down as a man. And men, I have a lot of wise men. Amen. Don't say amen. Amen. Parents. Amen. Parents. Yelling at your kids. I don't know about you, but to me, that was a common thing growing up. Okay. Not necessarily in my household because my mom wasn't never there. But in my friend's household and around the area, even when I went to some church families, I realized, oh, this is normal. Can I tell you something? Just because it's normal doesn't mean it's what? We all struggle like this. Follow me? It's not if you're part of this group, you're part of that group, you're part of this church, you're part of that. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with culture. You know what it has to do? Plain and simple, with your spirit. This is what the Bible's telling us. The Bible's not giving us a remedy to the symptoms. He's giving us a remedy to the root of the problem, the sin. What is the sin? The sin is that we're too proud to admit there's something wrong. What's the sin? The sin is the fact that we are hasty to anger. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. The angry part, the sinful part, is not the anger. The sinful part is when we use our words to hurt someone, to cause pain to someone. Evil, that's evil, by the way. I want us to understand, parents, when we yell at our kids in anger, we're not correcting them. We're actually what? We're reacting. We're reacting inside. We're upset. And can I tell you, children, if there's children here, how many of you are children? None of us, amen. But I guess we're children to our parents, amen. We just don't live under their roofs anymore. But, you know, your attitude, child, amen, or if you're a son or a daughter, your attitude and disrespect doesn't show that you're strong. You know what that shows? You're weak. You know what that shows? You're out of control. You have no control. Pastor, are you mad? No, I just want to help. I'm going to give you scripture to help. Amen. James, next verse. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh what? That's a very important word. It does not. Worketh not the what? Righteousness of God. If I'm angry and I say I'm right, does it work the righteousness of God? Come on now. If I'm angry, I get in an argument with somebody, Brother Heath. Let's say we get in an argument. You park in my parking spot. I am angry. I don't have a parking spot. If you parked in it, in case you did. And I came to you and say, you know what, Brother Heath, I know you're the deacon, but it doesn't give you the right to take my parking spot. We don't have a problem, right? Just real quick, raise your hand. Come on, help me out here. Amen. We don't have a problem. Okay. Miss Claudia. Amen. But we say, okay, Brother Heath, you parked in my parking spot. I'm upset with you. And then I go out to call him names and say, you good, you no good deacon, good for nothing. What does the Bible says? If I am angry, is it going to work the righteousness of God? In other words, the next things that I do, is it going to be godly? Is it going to be righteous? Is it going to be the right thing to do? No. Not if I'm angry. But if I have restraint. And I'm not saying you float in the air because you read the Bible all the time. That doesn't exist. You're still human. But if I were to compose myself, and if that really bothered me, guess what I need to do? Not be hasty. I'm not going to apologize for anything. No, I'm kidding. But no, I'm going to. But here's the thing. I'm going to need to calm down. I can't react in anger because it does not work the righteousness of who? Of God. So I need to calm down and come to him with a more calm spirit, demeanor, and then say, Brother Heath, I know it's not a big deal, man, but it bothers me for some reason. You parked in my parking spot last time, and I just want to say, I forgive you, brother. It's okay. No, I just want to say, listen, I got upset, and I'm going to apologize for that because it's really not a big deal. This is more controlled. But how many of you have seen on those video posts? I don't know if you have. I guess I'm the only one that has those type of posts. But I see people parking in someone else's parking spot, and then they go all out. They duke it out. Or road rage. Did we not have a young Marine get shot last time for road rage here off of Paluxy, I believe? What happened? The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's what happened. These are two individuals, praise the Lord, it's a Marine, and you know, he was a father and a husband, and he did what he could for our country. But in that situation, probably the best thing, and again, I don't know all the details, maybe the other guy was at fault, okay. But I honestly rather avoid conflict on purpose, not that I'm weak or anything. You don't want to see that one. But I'd rather live to see another day, wake up to the woman of my dreams, wake up to be a father to my children that he's blessed me with, to be able to continue doing his purpose for my life. You know how I walk away and do that? Not by anger. I just want you to understand here that James is saying your anger will never produce something godly. Never. Never. And not once. I don't think it'll ever produce anything godly. Not once. But if you can't control your anger, all it's just showing is that you're not what? You're not strong. You're not spiritual. It's exposing it, okay? That's all this is. Can you imagine a pot of water and you put them in one, what do you call these things? Pots, amen. And you know how they have lids and you put it on top of the stove? Don't we? Oh, am I wrong on that? What is it, cauldron? I'm not a witch, okay? A pot and then the lid. What do you call those? It's a pot. And it has a lid? Okay. No, ma'am. But that's a better illustration, though. Okay. But that's a better illustration because where I'm going with is pressure. It's actually going to pressure. You know, sometimes if it's too hot, right, and there's too much pressure, what happens to that lid? Right, and then it'll come off, right? And whatever's in there, you'll see it, and it exposes it, right? We're supposed to be the opposite. We're just supposed to let it simmer. Keep that lid on. People don't need to see what we're made of. We don't need to expose what's inside our hearts. Your anger reveals your weakness. Why would you give people that stronghold in your life, or why would you give people that insight into your life that it's so easy to control you by pressing? Does that make sense? We're already dealing with pressure, but we can deal with it the right way. And this is what I like about the Word of God, because what is it, Luke 6:45? Yeah, that's you. We don't have a Luke 6:45? Okay, all you guys are fired. Amen. No, this is not it. You skip to the second point. It's okay. Amen. Jesus, I got him on my mind. Okay, so let's go to 6:45. Yeah, I want to simmer. I just want to simmer. I don't want to explode. Amen. Put that lid on. Thank you. Brother Chris? Whew, feel the steam? Amen. Luke 6:45. You say, Pastor, why don't you blow up? Because I don't need you to see what's inside. Amen. 6:45. Look what it says. Verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what? And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his what? Bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth what? And this is exactly what happens when we're out of control. We don't simmer. Instead, the lid in our life just rattles. Suddenly, it blows over. And then what happens into our family, right? Or our our place of work with our coworkers. What ends up happening when you come to church, right? It spills everywhere. Everybody knows you're having a bad day. Everyone knows. And here's the thing about this. It makes a mess, and whoever gets close, guess what it's going to do to them? It's going to burn them. Amen? We need to get to a place, folks, where we understand that the explosion didn't just come from nowhere. Where the explosion comes from, based off the Bible, it just reveals what is already what? In our hearts. That's exactly how anger works. I can say as a pastor, you know what? The sound booth guy made me mad. It's not the sound booth guy, even though it is part the sound booth guy. I mean, he's teaching class. This is the assistant, amen? I'll get after him. I won't get after him. He's a grown man, but amen. Jesus. But what it's revealing is what's inside of me. You follow me? That's what it's revealing. It's not revealing, they made me mad. No. It's like a parent blaming a child who's the child, and even though we're the adult, right? We're supposed to be training them. It's blaming the child, the reason why they're mad or upset, it's because of the child. Follow me? That's not how that works. It's really, your anger is exposing who you are and what you have inside. Pastor, why are you preaching like this? Because we all struggle with this. It's called sin. It's like a spouse blaming the other spouse. Well, they got me mad. No. We're just exposing the anger, not we, but the anger is exposing what you already have inside. Follow me? It's okay. None of us are perfect. You can ask my wife, amen? She married almost semi-perfect person in the world, but she can tell you a little bit that I'm not perfect, amen? I'm not perfect, obviously. But she knows, and she's my wife. Y'all just know the pastor. But she knows the real me and the things that tick me or the things that push me, the things that irk me. And guess what? It's not her fault. All I'm doing is what? Revealing who or what I have inside, that anger. Well, guess what? Here's the thing. The Bible says that I can control it. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Strong people don't explode under pressure. Guess who does? The unstable ones. Here's the second point. Self-control is the mark of true strength. Thank you, bud. Proverbs 25:28, the Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own what? Spirit. Yeah. Is like a city that is broken down and without what? Come on now, without what? What do walls represent, especially back in those days? What did they represent? Protection. From what? From the opponents? From danger? From the army? This represented a protection from somebody trying to take over them. Guess what? We are not. If you and I don't rule over our spirit, we're like a city that has no protection. Anything that anyone says, guess what it's going to do? It's going to hit you. Oh, it's going to hit you. You're going to get offended. We already know the passage of that in Psalms, right? What is it? Nothing shall offend them. He who delights in the word of God. No, he who nothing and nothing shall offend them. That's the only thing I remember. Amen. What is that passage? I think it's in Psalms 105 or something like that. But what does that mean? If we get into the scripture, I know I tortured that verse, but we get into that scripture, we realize it doesn't matter if my neighbor who doesn't like me and lets their dog come over there and use the restroom on my property, amen, and they don't care and respect me, they should not have that much power over me. Right? What is it? Can you read it out loud, please? And nothing shall offend them. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, based off of the neighbors that some of us have, we need a great peace. Amen? We do, don't we? Amen? But sometimes we go through life not understanding that we have no walls. We have no protection. If we have no control, it's open what? Destruction. Come and hurt me. Marriage, you can't have a healthy marriage if one or both are emotionally unstable. We can't do that. We cannot continue in relationships walking on eggshells just to survive. Parenting with our children. If my child fears me because of my temper, then guess what? I've lost ground, and they're more likely to trust someone else than me. Why? Why? Because I intimidate them. I'm using fear tactics to put them in their place. My friends, that's what this is talking about. Anger. Stop being in the flesh. You know, you've heard preachers that preach in the flesh. Amen? And I know sometimes I probably do too. But preachers that preach in the flesh, guess what they do? They use the pulpit to intimidate you. Well, you didn't show up on Sunday. You're not right with God. Right? What? That's not what the Bible says, by the way. It says if you... not forsaking the assembling, right? But because that pastor realized, hey, you know what? I don't know. This is what I'm thinking. I don't know if that's the case. But it's not one thing that we this is not a priority here in our ministry. But some pastors, they live off of your tithes, okay? That's just the truth. And if you don't show up and you're a healthy tither, I guess, they get upset because you don't show up. They get upset because you go on a family vacation. They get upset because you're not following their lead, or what is it, the beat of the drum. You're not doing things they want you to do. Can I tell you, that's not God. That's not godly. Anger or the wrath of man, it doesn't work anything. It worketh not the righteousness of God. That goes from the preacher to the parishioner. It goes to the parent to the child, from the husband to the wife, wife, husband. That's how this works. And so, Ephesians 6:4, do we have that one? Ephesians. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to what? Wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the what? Hey, your anger can create a very rebellious child that you're trying to correct. If your emotions control you, your life is already out of control. This is exactly what God is saying. Anybody can have emotions. Anybody can get angry. Anybody can react. But not everybody can control their emotions. Can you imagine a trained horse versus a wild horse? These are two large beasts. And can you picture this wild horse, powerful, fast, full of energy, that nobody can ride? What do we call those? Mustangs, wild horses? Mustangs? They have a lot of energy, but nobody can ride them, right? And here's the thing. Why? It kicks. It bites. It bucks, right? It runs everywhere. And it has strength, but it's what? It's useless. You can't use it. You can't use it to herd any flocks or herd cattle. You can't use it to ride. You can't use it to compete in a rodeo. You can't use it. But then you have another horse that has as much power, but it's trained. And when the rider pulls the reins, it stops. When the rider directs it, it turns. When you make it run, or you give it the command to run, it runs, but it runs under control. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, here's the truth. The wild horse has power. The trained horse has power. The difference is the trained horse has power under control. That's the difference. That's the difference. Anybody can respond. Anybody can react. Anyone can snap. But not everybody can control that emotion. You say, Pastor, are you calling us horses? No, I'm just giving you an illustration, okay? In other words, if I want to be a useful husband, I need to keep my anger under control. You follow me? If I want to be a useful father to my children, I need to have my anger under control. If I want to be a useful pastor, I need to keep my anger under control. The Bible does say, be ye angry and sin not. So you're going to be angry, but keep it under what? Control. A man who can't control his temper, he may be strong, but he might be unsafe to live with. How many of us have heard of relationships where there's abuse, right? Emotional, mental, I get that, abuse. But then there's physical abuse. That's wrong, isn't it? But I love him. Okay. It still doesn't mean it's safe. A spouse who is controlled, a husband that's controlled, instead of bringing fear, guess what he brings? Peace. That's what we want. A parent who reacts in anger like someone that's powerful but has no control is very unpredictable. And a controlled parent, if they're consistent, guess what the child's going to do? They're going to be trustworthy. The parent's going to be trustworthy. The child's going to trust them. I should listen to them because they're consistent. You follow me? They're consistent. And what does that do? It creates this opportunity for you to lead your child with your authority. I don't know. In the very beginning, I'm not just trying to put all my, you know, dirty laundry there, but there are times I think I just mishandled our children, because to me it was like, no, I need to control them. And if they didn't listen, there were times where I would get mad and angry. Now, I don't abuse my babies, but there were times where my wife would just have to come in and say, babe, just calm down. And I'm like, no, they're not listening. I'm sorry. I'm laughing at myself. They're not listening. And she's like, okay, that's fine. So give them time. You know what I started learning? To be patient. And I know I'm not the best at it. My wife can tell you. But she has more of an insight with this kind of stuff. And it's because we're different, yes. I honestly believe the way we were raised is different too. But there are times where if Zeke didn't obey me, I would get upset with Zeke. Like, really upset with him. Not realizing that it would probably hurt our relationship. You know? What Zeke needed to hear more in those times that I didn't have patience or I didn't want to hear it, because I'm busy for the ministry. I'm busy trying to do something at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm busy trying to reach these kids in the projects. But my kid, I was going to lose him. What I had to realize is this. This is who I've been called to lead. This is who I need to have authority over. Not by fear, though. By love. It was okay sometimes to tell him, hey, Zeke, I love you. I understand you don't. I haven't explained this to you, so let me show you. Whenever you're in church, I want you to sit down. Whenever you're in church, I need you to get your Bible. When we're singing, be part of the program and sing. Instead of, why weren't you singing? Why didn't you say, excuse me? Why? That's not love. You know what that is? What is that? Anger. What is that? What'd you say? Embarrassing? Sorry, babe. That was embarrassing. No, it's anger. It's anger that's not controlled. How do you think Zeke would respond to that if I would have continued down that road? I understand I've grown too, and he understands. You know, I've grown and I've made mistakes. I've apologized. I haven't been the perfect father. But I love him. He knows that. Do you know I love you? Amen. Thank you. Amen. He's awake on that one. Praise the Lord. But I love him. And I hope he loves me too. We reciprocate that. Here's the thing. The only way that's going to grow is if I have that type of personality where I don't provoke him to wrath. The only way that's going to work is if I bring him under the nourishment and the admonition of the Lord. Explaining to him, look, Zeke, even though I might not be perfect at this, the Bible does tell you to obey your parents because it's the right thing to do. If you continue, now that I've taught you and I trained you, I get it the first time, that was my fault, I got upset, but I didn't teach you. But now that I've taught you, if you decide to go against me, now you're becoming a little rebellious kid. The Bible's telling you, commanding you to obey. That's different. Now he understands. Now he says, oh, Daddy's not making this up. He's getting it from the Word of God. Amen? That's different. And my friends, you know what it does? It helps you understand and get to that point where self-control becomes your strength. Here's the third point. 5 minutes, amen. Conquering yourself is greater than conquering anything else. And that's true. You can conquer your business and be very successful. You can learn to conquer any sports or organizations. You can learn to conquer a circle of people, social people, and learn how to influence them. All of that doesn't matter if you can't even conquer yourself. None of that matters. You're empty. It says in Proverbs 25, 20, oh, Genesis, okay, this is a good one. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years old. Here's really, out of all of this, what I want you to understand. What did Enoch do? That's the truth. If we want to conquer ourselves, we must walk with who? With God. The next passage there, Zeke, I think it's Galatians. Next one. No? Okay. Praise the Lord. Go to Galatians. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. No, amen. I want you to understand that God is actually saying this is a big deal. Because, what is that verse? That first one we... Go to Galatians, please, chapter 5, verse 22, 23. But I'm going to read Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, than the warrior. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. God is saying, look, it's a big deal. In the Bible days, when you were taking up a city, that meant you had power, you had dominance, you had victory. But God is saying, look, if you control your spirit, It's a big deal. You can conquer a city, but you can still be defeated in your spirit. Here's the truth. I can win arguments, but I could lose my testimony. Did you hear me? I might be able to win an argument, but I might lose my testimony. You can dominate a room, but you can damage a lot of relationships. You can look strong publicly, but in reality, are weak privately. Who has Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23? Can you read it out loud, please, Ms. Carla? Thank you. I want you to focus all of those, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. When you walk with God, that's what it produces. But the one that I really is going to fit this and I really wanted to point out is temperance. What is temperance? Self-control. Self-control sometimes is missing in your life. Self-control might sometimes be missing in my life. Self-control might sometimes be missing in the child's life or in the parent's life. What does that mean? You're not being led by the what? Yeah. That's how you know when somebody's preaching in the flesh. That's how you know when someone's speaking in the flesh. That's how you know. Because the Bible's telling you what the Spirit what? Produces. That's what it's telling you, right? So if I'm out of control, what is that telling you? I'm not in the Spirit. I haven't spent time with God. I haven't walked with God, ma'am. Okay, he's just one. Did you say something? You're saying amen? All right, praise the Lord, amen. Did you say something? It says here that temperance is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want a strong marriage, not the loudest marriage, but if you want a strong marriage, you need to walk with who? God. Why? Because God will help you control your spirit. Oh, he doesn't help me control your spouse? That's not the answer. Amen. We think our thoughts are great. How can I control? You mean how can you manipulate? No. How can I control? No. How can you control yourself? Start there. Don't try to control your spouse. Husbands, how can I control my wife? You're missing the target, bro. No, that's the wrong thing. How can you control yourself? And that's where all the godly men said, amen. We all need this help. Ladies, it's not how you control your husband, it's how you control yourself. Children, it's not how you control your parents, how you control yourself. And parents, it's not how we control our children, it's how we control ourselves. That's the spiritual insight that God gives you on how to navigate in the room, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Because we're no longer living off our thoughts. Well, you need to obey. I mean, I don't need to do anything. I'm a product of that. Okay? I don't need to do anything, but I'm glad that when I started doing it God's way, oh, wow, this is amazing. It's like going behind this plant. Wow, I could see. I can get out of my little jungle. The world's beautiful. It opens up to me. Wow, it's amazing, God. Well, just make sure you stay with me. God, I want to learn about this. Okay, just stay with me. Learn to control yourself. Parents, the strongest parent is not the one that's the harshest. It's not. The strongest parent is the one that's most consistent and most controlled. That's really true. I know I didn't have the best parenting, but one of the things I could always give my mom is that she showed me love. And honestly, man, I know this might sound crazy, but that's all I needed. That's all I needed. My dad already showed me he didn't love me, but my mom showed me not just her love, but the love of God. Brother Dave, I know I'm not special, but she made me feel so special. Now, I know I might be a little special, but she showed me specialty in the sense of to believe in myself that I didn't need a man to find purpose. I just needed the Word of God and her God, and I needed to build on that relationship with my Heavenly Father to become the man who I needed to become. That's all I needed. And guess why I listened to her? Because she, that's the key. She loved me. Doesn't mean she let me get away with stuff. No, 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 no. She loved me. Are we missing that nowadays in society? Are we replacing it with, instead of loving my family, my wife, my children, I love myself. My image. What people think of me? Doesn't matter. What does that kid think of you that God's allowed you to raise? What does that spouse think of you? That God in the Bible talks about when you find a good woman, you find what? Finding a good wife is... Did I mess that one too? What is it? I think so, yeah. I'm thinking about favor with God for some reason, amen? But yeah, find a good thing, amen? It's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Because God's giving it to you. So why would I love something else that the world's not offering? Why in the world would I trade what God gave me for something that the world... By the way, the world is second class, just so you know. It's leftovers. God gave me this. So if I'm ruining what God gave me, whose fault is it? No one but mine. Because my God and I have a walk. And I'm going to take responsibility and I'm going to own it. I'm not going to pass the blame. How pathetic of me as a spiritual leader to say, it's my wife's fault. No, sir. My wife's supposed to follow the man of God. Amen? That's just plain and simple. How pathetic of me if I were to stand here and say, it's my son and my daughter's fault that they don't listen. No, how pathetic is that? It's my job to be the godly leader in the house. Amen? This is telling us, this is showing us that we could be strong enough to control ourselves. What good is it for a general to conquer any city, but in his camp, he's losing control? What's the point then? Nothing. There's no point. Jesus, this is exactly what he's getting at. You can win. Yeah, you can win arguments. You can. You can control a room. In public, you can look strong. Yeah. You can even conquer every opportunity that God sends your way. You can do that. And people will be misled and think, wow, they're blessed by God. But if you can't conquer your own spirit, what matters the most, then you're still defeated. Listen to what I'm telling you. You're still defeated. Proverbs 16:32. I'm going to read the last portion of it. And he that ruleth his spirit, then he that taketh the city. Man, I could probably win a fight with my wife. But then what would that do? I would lose my marriage. I would lose the war. What good is me... Is it for me to win a battle? What good is it if I'm going to lose my marriage? See, victory is not in the argument. If I feed the right spirit, the right person, the spirit, not the flesh, guess what? The victory's in the spirit. I got the spirit of God living in me. So do you. Feed it. Walk with God. Walk with him. Don't continue living your life in the flesh. Pastor, I want to control my child's behavior. Oh, you can do that outwardly. But you know what you're losing? Their heart. Oh, you can? Yeah, I can make anybody. Man, there's a lot of military. YouTube now in days, amen, exists. There's a lot of military film and strategies. I get that. We can control people. I get it. That's called manipulation, by the way. But if you can instill a desire in that follower to follow, it's only through love. It's only through compassion. That doesn't make me weak. You know what that makes you? I hope you realize this. That makes me real because I've experienced suffering and I've seen it in the gutter. I've experienced as an 11-year-old seeing a dead body of a 14-year-old, my classmate's brother dead, Jesse's, in Hamilton Alexander Middle School. That's not weak. I've seen the worst of the worst. This is nothing in the sense of comparison to violence or the gutter or no hope. And if I am this way, it's not because, oh, he's scared. No, because I've seen too much and I know where it leads. And praise the Lord, we don't even have to experience that here. It's because it's called compassion. It's called love. And those of us that have truly experienced things and seen the ugliness of sin and what sin does in a society, we're grateful. We're grateful for not only God taking us out of that thing, but putting us where we're at, helping us receive this as a gift. You think I'm going to throw it all away? For what? I've seen the bucket. I've seen it. It's not worth it. I'd rather fight for this, for my marriage. I'd rather fight for my children. I'd rather fight for my church, because this is hope to me. I've seen it. And if that makes people think because he has self-control, he's weak, then so be it. But you have it twisted, my friends. This is called power under control. That's all this is. Could I respond a certain way if I don't like something my wife says? Yeah, I could. And sometimes I'm not the best at it. I do. But then in return, I don't keep it that way. I fight for it and I apologize and I say where I was wrong. Could I intimidate my children and discipline them and try to control them and try to create a fear in them? Yeah, I could. But I know where that leads to. Rebellious kids that don't want anything to do with their parents. I've seen it. My friends, please understand, our church is not the type of church that's militant. We're not about trying to kill people or hurt people, or if you're not right with God, we're soldiers. I get that. But we're soldiers of the cross. We're trying to lead people to who? Jesus. We're not trying to push people away from Jesus. We're not that militant. Amen? It's not that kind of military. We are first ambassadors of Christ. And the way we're going to be able to reach people that don't understand our pathway and how we're following Jesus is through self-control. When they say something that offends you, like, I don't believe in marriage. Okay. Control your spirit and let them know what the Bible says, and then learn to explain it. What are the benefits of being married? Amen? There's so many benefits, by the way, in case you don't know. But here's the truth. How can you find that out if you can't control your spirit? I want us to understand that some of us don't have an anger problem. It's a control problem. We cannot control our spirit. It's not an anger problem. Until you rule your spirit like the Bible says, until I rule my spirit like the Bible says, marriages will suffer, children will be affected, families will be destroyed, churches will be damaged, and your testimony will be ruined. Let's understand what this is about. It's a spiritual warfare. Pastor, how can I rise up? It's simple. I'm going to tell you what it is. This is what I've learned. Okay, this is really it. Next time you want to get mad and lose it, just pause. Think about what you're going to say or do. And don't do it. Instead, submit to God. And I'm going to tell you what God does. He's going to make you feel like this. And you know what? Sometimes, Mishante, I need to be humbled by my God. I need to be reminded where he's taking me from and now how I'm ruining this opportunity. I need to be reminded by God and how I'm ruining the opportunity to be a pastor of Victory Baptist Church if I messed up. I need to be reminded by God and be reminded that, hey, look, there are people in this world that are not able to raise children, and I'm allowing you to have 6 of them. You know what that does to me? Reality check. Everything and anything I have, from the spouse to my children, to the family, to the church, everything that I have is by God. It's by God. What a fool I would be if I continue to live down a way that would take all that away. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. According to the Word of God, you either rule your spirit or you're being ruled by your spirit. But here's the thing. Only one of those is called strength. What would you choose today? As the piano plays, the Christian life is an amazing opportunity to invest in works so that way when we get to heaven, we'll have something to show Jesus and throw at his feet.